This is the Mighty 690 KGGF. I'm Deborah Woodall, joined in studio now by Daryl Harbaugh, who is the president of the USD 445 Board of Education here in Coffeyville, and Angie Naden, who is one of the members of the Facility Committee and also a parent and very involved with Field Kinley High School here in Coffeyville. So nice to have you both in studio with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. I do want to point out I'm also an alumni of FKHS, so yeah. I have a lot of connections to our district.
NATO power.
Absolutely.
So one thing we are doing is we wanted to take some time because there has been a lot of confusion as we head into next week's election. And, you know, personally, my personal opinion, one responsibility of media and news is to help educate people about what's going on in their community and make sure people are informed. So when it comes time to cast a ballot, they know all the issues that are before them. And people are like, well, gosh, didn't you guys just have Jerry Hamm on and Michael Spear and who knows how many times Craig Carell's been in there? But we want to get more perspective on this. And we're looking at this bond election that is going to be on the ballot next week from a couple of different directions. Is it next week or the week after? It is next
Thursday, the 6th.
All right. So let's start, first of all, with how the process worked in going through and developing the bond question, what all is going to be included in the package, and what folks will be voting either for or against.
The process for me as a facilities committee member actually began in May of 2016. We had our first meeting. And we were given the mission of identifying improvements to all of the buildings district-wide that would extend the life of our existing buildings, that would address safety and security concerns, and would also address the accessibility of the buildings for students of all abilities. That was our mission then, and over that 2+ years to get to this point, we did a lot of analysis, met several times during that period, and we went through each one of the buildings in the district. We toured buildings in other districts, Chanute and
Iola.
Where else did we go? Iola and Parsons?
Parsons, yes.
Okay. Saw some buildings that had been recently renovated, and we met with architects and just went through this whole process. And when we had identified everything that we felt needed to be addressed, came back with an estimate that was $36 million. And as a group, we knew that was too much. That was not something we felt comfortable presenting to our community. So went back to the list of projects, cut some things out, got a new estimate. It was $31 million. Felt like that was still too high. So went back for a third time, cut projects out, while still being able to provide the projects that extended the life of the building, that addressed all of the concerns that we had initially. The last project, or the last estimate that came to us, we had two. There was one for $29 million and one for $25.8 million. Collectively, as a committee, we agreed that we would recommend the $25.8 million project to the school board, and the school board voted unanimously that they agreed with that project as well, and that's the project that's being presented to the voters next week when they go to the polls on the 6th.
You know, and it's interesting, Angie, to hear you talk about everything that went into this process, because I think there are a lot of people on the street that don't understand the background that went into this and how long this has been in the works. I think some people have felt like, this has just been sprung on people. And
it's not a recent thing. It's not new.
I'll go back even further than Angie has. In 2015, the school board approved our long-range plan. The year or two prior to that, there were 120 citizens of this community. They're listed on the website in the long-range plan if you want to go find their names. But worked with the school board and employees in the district to come up with a five-year long-range plan. We adopted it in 2015. That plan specifically said one of the three goals is to address our facility needs in a fiscally
responsible,
that's the word I was looking for, responsible manner, which we've done. The first decision we made as a facilities committee, and I was the board members representing the board on that committee, was what to do with Field Kinley and Roosevelt. I might also add, I'm also a graduate in two ways, as a student and as a teacher. I retired from there in 2012. But regardless of that, the first decision we talked about was, did we continue with those two beautiful buildings, or did we look at building new? And to my surprise, because I was the older citizen on this committee, several of these...
The veteran,
thank you. Anyway, the parents on the committee said, we love these buildings, we want to continue with these buildings. And that's the time we came committed to bringing them up to 21st century standards. They are beautiful buildings outside, needs some tender, loving care. I know Dr. Correll and administrators have invited community members to come in and tour the insides so they can see what we're addressing. If you aren't able to do that, and I know time is short before the election, on our district website, there is a link that will give you kind of a virtual tour where you can indeed see the condition of some of the restrooms. You can see the pipes in the basement of Field Kinley High School where our students go for tornado shelter. This is to be safe and secure, and we don't have a FEMA structure shelter in those two buildings.
Is there liability with that, with the fact that we do not have a FEMA-approved shelter? Is the school district taking on a liability there that maybe needs to be addressed by, that this bond would address by adding that shelter?
I would have to probably let Dr. Correll or Mr. Spear address that. I would assume, yes, in our litigious society, that should something happen and we don't have the FEMA shelter, but that is not anything we've ever had in our conversation. We saw the need. I mean, those two buildings, people look at them and say they will withstand everything. But the point that we do not have a FEMA shelter there when we have them in the other buildings in the district was a need. Also, if you've ever gone to Roosevelt Middle School and taken a PE class, we're building what I call a physical education classroom. Some people might call it a gym. But that will be the FEMA shelter. It will be used by everybody in both those buildings for tornado or any kind of disaster. So,
well, and it will also be available as a community shelter as well. So it's another option for residents that are close by in that area that need a shelter during severe weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
One other quick thing too is, although both those buildings have elevators, they're not ADA compliant in a lot of ways. And if you are handicapped, and especially in a wheelchair, and you can't do the stairs, you literally have to go to the back door of that building, call someone in the front office to send someone down and open the door to get into it. We have students with disabilities that cannot get into their PE class because they are not able to manage the few steps down into the gym. So one of the big concerns here is our ADA compliance and make it accessible to everybody.
Yeah, and that could wind up being a big issue if a lawsuit was ever filed on the ADA side of things.
And we hope that never happens.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, no one wants a lawsuit to happen.
Well, and I think that is something that able-bodied individuals just don't take into consideration. They don't have to deal with that every day, so they don't realize the difficulties that people that do have mobility issues face. So I really hope that people take that into consideration when they're looking at the projects that are included in this that will address those ADA issues.
You know, I want to go back to something you were speaking on earlier, Daryl. You said, you know, the outside of these buildings look great. And they do. They are beautiful structures. And if you built new construction, you are not going to get that same craftsmanship and beautiful, you know, just the beauty of those facilities, that dark wood, that, you know, that
they're, just the architecture.
They're beautiful buildings. Mm-hmm. And despite that, I mean, you can keep that, but at the same time, improve what we're dealing with, because we're spending thousands of dollars every month on plumbing issues, electrical issues, and we could address those and no longer have to spend that every month.
Yes.
And those are our tax dollars, too.
I will tell you that the architects have designed two new entrances, one to each building, that are off to the side. Therefore, leaving the main view of the buildings, that picturesque scenery there. They also, when they first showed us that drawing, I will confess, they had a kind of an outside rendering of what it should look like, and all the committee said, no, won't work.
It was a little too modern, what the architects had presented to us initially, and I think we were all kind of looking at each other like, that just does not work.
And so we're very aware of the beauty of those buildings. And
yes.
We've made the architects aware that everything will blend in. We will keep those main part of the structures as pretty on the, you know, beautiful on the outside as they are. Inside is where they need some serious help.
Yeah. And again, you know, people can call the school district and arrange for a tour, or as you mentioned, they can go online and do that virtual tour and see exactly all the projects that they will be asked to consider as they consider this bond question. Now, the question becomes, who votes on this? Is this anyone who lives in Coffeyville, or is this beyond that?
There has been some confusion about that. If you are within the USD 445 boundaries, you're eligible to vote for this issue. It's not just Coffeyville citizens, or if you live within the city limits. If you are within the USD 445 limits, you can vote.
So if you live in Deering, you live in Liberty, you live west of town, although no one in Tyro is within our district, there is a polling place in Tyro that I believe does serve some of our USD 445 citizens. People will go vote where they normally go vote, but it would only be those that live within the boundaries of the district.
So basically, if you ever had kids that attended school in Coffeyville, that's probably you.
Yes.
Correct.
You're probably going to be voting. Or if you've never had kids in the district, but you live close to Coffeyville, if you're not sure of your status, contact Charlotte over at the county clerk's office, and they'll be happy to let you know if this is something you need to vote on or not as well.
That reminds us. Today is the last day to ask for an absentee ballot. And so if you are interested, you can contact Charlotte Schmidt, the county clerk, and request a ballot. They will mail it to you, mail you the form to fill out to get it, and we'll send you a ballot to vote before next Thursday.
There's also information on requesting the absentee ballot on the Coffeyville Schools website. It's seavilleschools.com, and click on the bond info tab.
All right, very good. So the election coming up Thursday, September 6th, it is a special election. This is the only item that will be on that ballot.
That's correct.
Okay, so Angie Naden of the Facilities Committee for the School District and Daryl Harbaugh, Board of Education President. Thank you both for joining us this morning. It's always always great to sit down and have a chat with you guys. So thanks for coming in today.
We appreciate it, Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.